Praise the Lord. Welcome to New Life Church. We're going through the book of James word for word. Amen. Sometimes I teach topical, but the Lord said, hey, just teach the book of James. Amen. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation just because it's a little more, just a little more easier to understand, a little simplicity. Amen. But how many of you know that, listen, these may just be simple, basic instructions, but remember what James said last week, be doers of the word. Amen. Jesus said, I just taught on the Great Commission. Jesus said, teach them to observe all the things I have commanded you. Amen. So this word is inspired, just like the book of Revelation, just like the book of Genesis. And so here's where God has us today. We are in James chapter 2, and the title of it is a warning against prejudice. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you. We ask above all things that you be glorified in this place. Father, let me rightly divide your word of truth, that we would leave here changed and transformed by the truth of your word and by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen. Amen. And amen. James chapter 2. Now he writes again, my dear brothers and sisters, listen to this. How can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? Amen. How can you say you have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over other people? Look at verse 2. For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Amen. How many know that Jesus did away with all of that? Amen. There was separation back in the days of Christ as well. There was the Jew, the Gentile. There was division. There was racism. I know a lot of people today speak of racism. Listen to me. It's not going anywhere. Can I get an amen? It's not going anywhere. What do we do, Pastor? Listen, let God come in and transform your life. Be who God says you are. Come on, somebody. Stop letting the opinions of people, listen, dictate or determine how you feel about yourself. Amen. Lift your head up. You are a child of the Most High God. Come on, somebody. Man, your sins have been forgiven. Your past has been eradicated. In other words, people, listen, there should be no discrimination in children of the Most High God. We ought to see one another, listen, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I get an amen? We should not, listen, discriminate against race or social status. If we do, then we're not walking in the love of God. And even Jesus himself said in John 13, 35, remember what he says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. How? By the love we have towards one another. Amen. When I'm going anywhere, listen, I'm not looking for where's all the Spanish people at. No, you know what I'm looking for? I'm saying, where's all my brothers in Christ at? That's who I want to hang out with. Come on, somebody. I want to hang out with people of the like mind, the same way of thinking that I have. But you got to understand, even in these times, there was division. There was racial injustice. Listen, and James is saying, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Amen. He goes on in verse, listen, there ought not be any of that stuff in us. And now remember what James said in chapter 1, be doers of the word. So listen, even those listening by podcast, there ought not be any prejudices within us. And if there is, well, we need to pray to get those things out of us. Can I get an amen? We ought to see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on, somebody. I got Hispanic brothers. I got white brothers. I got black brothers. Come on, somebody. I got white sisters, listen, black sisters, Hispanic sisters. Listen, I see children of the Most High God. Amen. And that's the way we ought to see one another. Because in all reality, people, I know there's a lot going on about racism. And yes, racism is wrong. And no, it shouldn't be. But a march isn't going to rid of it. Come on, somebody. Amen. Standing on the corner shouting about it is not going to get rid of it. You say, Pastor, what's going to get rid of it? When God comes in by his Spirit and creates in you a clean heart, renews the right spirit within you, changes your way of thinking, and no longer are you seeing people by their social status or by their race, but you're seeing people for who God has made and created them to be. Amen. Are y'all with me, somebody? So he goes on, he says in verse 5, listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith. Amen. How many know that's true? The poor have a lot more opportunity to build their faith. Come on, somebody. You have a lot more opportunity to build your faith in God when there's not so much money in the bank. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You have a lot more opportunity. And this is what James is saying. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law that is found in scriptures. Listen to this. Love your neighbors as yourself. Amen. That is the royal law. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Remember when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment in Mark 12:30? You don't have to go there. But he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. Y'all remember that? The second is like unto the first, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Are we still under the law? Well, we are to keep the law of God. Yes, but here's the law. The law is love now. Because if you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, how many of you know you won't be putting any other images before him? You won't be taking his name in vain. Come on, somebody. You won't be bowing down to things. And when you love each other as yourself, listen, you're not going to be lying to one another. You're not going to be coveting one another. So the whole law is fulfilled in this one word. You ready? Love one another. That's what the whole law is fulfilled in. But he goes on and he says this in verse 9. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin and you are guilty of breaking the law. Listen to this. Verse 10. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all the laws of God. Are y'all with me? Verse 11. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not what? Murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. Are y'all with me, somebody? Verse 12. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free, the law of liberty. Amen. Why is it called the law of liberty? Because we have the ability to, listen, God is not going to force you to do anything. And you can't pick and choose what laws you want to obey. James is saying you got to obey it all. Amen. Now, as a means of salvation, how many of you know we all fall short? Are y'all with me, somebody? We all fall short of that. Amen. Even as Christians, we still miss it sometimes. Can I get an amen or is it just me? James is saying, listen, you can't just pick and choose. Amen. You can't just say, well, I like this law, but I don't like that law. No, no, no. All the law is good. All the law is just. All the law is holy. Are y'all with me, somebody? God doesn't change his mind. Are y'all with me? Amen. And so we have to understand, people, that we can't just go through life picking and choosing what we want or what fits our needs. We have to understand that the law was given to us for a reason and for a purpose. Pastor, are you saying that we're under the law still? No, no, that's not what James is saying. All the law is good and holy. Amen. But as a means of salvation, how many of you know we have failed already? We have broken the laws of God. Amen. The law acted as a schoolmaster to lead us to Jesus Christ, who came and fulfilled it all. Remember, he says, don't think that I came to abolish, but to fulfill it. Are y'all with me? Are y'all getting this? Amen. Amen. Bear with me. I don't like this humidity, man. It gets me bad. Whew. Amen. Y'all are cold and I'm sitting here all humid. So understand, people, once again, he says, if you murder someone, but you do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. Verse 12 says, so whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. Verse 13, listen to this. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. Are y'all with me? But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. We talk about this a lot. Remember, Lamentations 3:22 said it is because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Amen. The only reason you sit here today is because of God's mercies. The only reason, thank you, brother. The only reason, this humidity gets me, brother. I'm telling you, I can feel it. Woo! I need a chamois, brother. Oh my gosh, I need it, brother.
It is because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Amen. Amen. It was God's mercies that kept me from ODing. Well, I overdosed, but I didn't die. His mercy. Amen. Yes, I've done a lot of things crooked, jacked up, messed up. His mercy kept me. His compassion never fails. Listen, his mercies are new every morning. God is a merciful God. Are y'all with me, somebody? People who go through life recognizing how merciful God is, listen, are usually merciful to other people. When you recognize how good God has been to you, you're not quick to point a finger at somebody. You're not quick to condemn somebody. Amen. You may see someone in sin and you think to yourself, hold on a second, that was me not long ago. In fact, that could be me even still. And the word of God is saying when you show mercy, God will be merciful. It goes back to Matthew 5:7 in the Beatitudes of Christ. Blessed are the merciful. Why? For they shall obtain mercy. We have to be merciful. And a lot of Christians, we come to the Lord, we come to church. That's why I am the way I am. There was a time when I first came to the Lord when I thought I could walk on water. And I was real good at condemning people. I was real good at thinking, I'm better than you. I pray more than you. I'm closer to God than you. That's self-righteous. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? We all miss it in one way or another. You may have a struggle over here of doing something. It doesn't, listen, what did Jesus say? Be careful to remove the log in your own eye before you try to remove the speck out of someone else's eye. In other words, evaluate yourself first. And if we evaluate ourselves and recognize, man, God has truly been merciful to me, then guess what? You're going to be merciful to another when you see a brother or sister. Galatians 6:1 says if we see a brother overtaken in sin, put that up there for me. And we're just, this isn't my notes, but Galatians 6:1. Because we're speaking of the mercy of God. James is writing and he says in verse 13 of James chapter 2, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. How many of you need mercy? I know I do. I know I do, man. I need it. And when we recognize just how good God has been to us, when we recognize the mercy that God has bestowed upon us, then it teaches us to be merciful to other people. Amen. If you stumble, if you fall, my position isn't to kick you when you're down. My position isn't to go and expose your failures or your sins or to put you down or say, look at him. He calls himself a Christian. Because in all reality, everyone in this room, everyone listening by podcast, myself as well, we all need the mercy of God. Amen. Every single one of us. Are y'all with me? Amen. Galatians 6:1 is not up here, but it says this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul writing to those in Galatia, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some what?
Sin.
You who are godly, all right? In other words, check yourself first, all right? You should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. That's the aim. It is never to condemn. If you're overcome by sin, my position as your brother is always to lift you back up and get you on the right track. Never to put you down. Never to condemn you. And when we do things like that, listen to me, you are going to miss out on the mercy of God because the way we treat others is what God is going to treat us with. Are y'all with me? He says this, listen, you should humbly and gently lift, help that person back on the right path. And listen to this, and be careful not to fall into the same temptations yourself. None of us are above it. Are y'all with me, somebody? And so we're back in James chapter 2, and we're on verse 14. And the word of God continues. Are y'all getting this, somebody?
Amen.
What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Amen? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Amen? What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and what?
Useless.
Amen? Some may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Faith is supposed to have an action behind it. Amen. No, listen. It's not saying that good works save you. We know according to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it says, by grace are you saved. Amen. Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is what? It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in. In other words, good works can't save you. But if you're really saved, there's going to be some good works. Larry was telling me on the way here, he's, you know, Larry gets here early. And I know we don't have a whole lot going on, but he sets up the stands and he sets up the sign out there. And he says, I got to do something. See, that's faith in action. I know God has done so much for me. How can I just stand here and only say I have faith and do nothing about the faith I say I have? I got to do something. He's done too much for me. Are y'all with me, somebody? He's done too much. I remember we used to go to a little church in a strip mall, and I would get there early, and I would pick up the cigarette butts, and I would pick up the trash and the leaves, and the pastor would pull up. He said, what are you doing, man? He said, the wind is going to blow everything right back. And I said, man, I got to do something. I got to do something because he's done too much for me. And that's what James is saying. How can you say you have faith, but yet you're not doing anything with it? We all have a mission and a ministry. Amen. Your mission is what you do outside of the church. Your ministry is what you do inside the church. God has something for you to do. Yes, even here. Can I get an amen? Amen. You showed up today. Listen, I need you here because if you weren't here, what good would it be for me to just be preaching to myself? Amen. Faith, listen, in Jesus Christ is going to produce something in you where you got to do something. And that's what James is saying. How can you say you have faith, but yet you're doing nothing with it? Verse 19, the word of God says, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Listen to this. God, good for you. Listen to this. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Even demons believe that there is a God. So for us just to say, well, I believe in God, all right, but I don't go to church, but I don't do anything at church, but I don't do anything. I don't give. I don't support. I don't do anything. How can you say, listen, the devils at least tremble. That's the difference. That there's many of us that are professing Christians who say, I'm Christian, but yet we fail and we neglect the fear of God, and we get to a place in our lives where we no longer tremble because we've lost the fear of God in our lives. God is still an awesome, almighty God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He is still to be reverenced. He is still, listen, a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. The God we serve, listen, is just that, a God whom we should serve. Yeah. Are y'all with me, somebody? Do something. Everybody in here has a gift and a talent. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Listen to that. He says, even the demons believe. Because there are people there, even in these days. Well, I believe in God, but you're not doing anything. What are we doing about the God we say we love? What are we doing with what he has done for us? What are we doing with the mercy he has bestowed upon us? The grace he has bestowed upon us? What are we doing with the love he has given us? Has it really come in and transformed our lives in a way that we are walking out there living for the things of God and doing what God has truly called and created us to do? That's the question. Amen. How foolish. He says this. In verse 20. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is what?
Useless.
It's useless. It's useless. We got to be doing something with what God has given us. Every one of us in this room, everyone listening to the sound of my voice on podcast, God has given us gifts and talents. God has come in and invaded our lives and has done something that ought to cause us and want to wake us up and do something because of all that he's already done for us. Are y'all with me, somebody? I'm not going to go any further than this. I want to pick up on this next week because it's going to take me too long to get into all this next stuff. But I just want to encourage you today to be people of faith, to acknowledge all that God has truly done for us. Are y'all with me, somebody? How he has protected us. Come on. How he has healed us. How he has made a way where we thought there was never going to be a way. Come on. How he's, listen, how he's never given up on us. It blows my mind. It amazes me that God hasn't given up on me. That God never gives up on you. He is constantly at work. Remember Paul writing to those in Philippi, Philippians 1:6 says that he who began the work will bring it to completion. God is working on you. God is at work in your life. And if we know other people in our lives that maybe they are struggling with something, maybe they are weak in an area. Listen, it's not for you and I to ever condemn. It is for us to pray. It is for us to come alongside and remember that it could be you and it could be me. What we need to do is always uplift our brothers and sisters in Christ. That there be no prejudices within us, even in social status. I think it's sad when there's people who have so much wealth that they look down on other people. You're missing out on so many good things. Are y'all with me, somebody? Because life isn't measured by what you own. Look at Luke 12:15, honey, in the New Living Translation. This is Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Remember, James began and he says, listen, hasn't he made the poor rich in faith? Amen. And then he comes against the rich man. And it's not that a rich man can't be saved. But I do believe what James is saying, that there's more obstacles in the way. When you don't have a whole lot, you tend to go to God a lot more. Can I get an amen? It was me when I overdosed as a drug addict. It was that time that caused me to look up unto the Lord and remember Jeremiah 33:3 that says, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you never knew. It was that dark moment in my life that caused me to cry out to the Lord. Are y'all with me, somebody? I'm not saying that that's what it takes. I was talking to Charles last week. The best testimony is never have had to gone through any of those things. But just keeping it in context, the poor are often given more opportunities to grow in faith. And just because you have a lot of wealth doesn't mean you're better than the next man. Are y'all with me? Jesus himself said this, beware, guard against every kind of what?
Greed.
Life is not measured by how much you own. Amen. Life is not measured by the house you live in. Life is not, and that's the thing with a lot of people. We tend to judge by what we see. We judge on the surface without getting to know what's in the heart. And if you remember 1 Samuel 16:7, what does the word of God say? Man judges by appearance. God judges what? The heart. And so just because you have a lot doesn't mean that you're better. Just because you have a nicer car doesn't mean that you're better. Come on, somebody. Nothing wrong with material wealth. Only saying that that doesn't make you better than the man who may not have as much as you. Because I know I know a man, listen, where I used to work with Brother Charles. His name was Mr. Carl. He was a janitor. Still is. There would be CEOs walking through the building who would look down on people like me. But Mr. Carl, a janitor, had so much wisdom in him, so much love in him. Y'all understand? That's what matters.
Yes.
That's what matters. I don't care how big your house is. I'm not impressed. I'll rejoice with you. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with nice things. But I want to know what's in your heart.
Amen.
That's what matters to God. And that's what this message is all about.
Amen.
Do you love people? Are you merciful to people? Remember how good God... I can never look down on anyone, man. I know what I've done. I know I cling to the mercy and the grace of God daily. I know my struggles. I know my failures. And I don't come here and try to pretend like I got it all together. Because listen, I don't. But I can almost assure you, you don't either. And that's the key. Recognizing that it's not the house you live in that makes you. It's not the car you drive. It's not the clothes you wear. It's your heart. Do you love people? Do you care about people? Are you merciful? Are you compassionate? Has God, like Ezekiel 36:26 say, has God removed your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh that actually feels? I used to be one of the most hateful people I've ever known in my life. I hated everybody. I did. I hated And you know why? Because I hated me. That was the reality. I hated what I had become. And I hated people. I hated every. I would walk in stores and they would say, man, it looks like you're going to kill somebody. And I would say, maybe you. I remember that. And I thought it was cool. But then when I overdosed, and the very God I neglected, the very God I used to tell my dad, I don't want nothing to do with your God, Dad. I don't need him. I don't need your Jesus. I don't need your God. If there was a God, I wouldn't be a drug addict. If there was a God, I wouldn't be this short. If there was a God, I wouldn't be poor. If there was a God, then why this? If there was a God, then why that? You know what I'm talking about? God gets blamed for all the bad that's ever happened in our lives. But then when I OD'd, and God, I remember Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I'm going to answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you never knew. Amen. The very God that I neglected, the very God that I rejected, my dad would hand me tracts, I would spit on him, and I would curse God. The very God that I did that to rescued me and saved me, loved me, was merciful to me, was compassionate to me. How could I ever not be to you what he was to me? That's what this is all about. It's faith. It's truly believing that there's a God, not because I want a quick dollar, not because I want a bigger home. No, no, no. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Matthew 6:33. And that's what James is saying. Don't discriminate against people because of their race. And if somebody discriminates against you, know who you are in Christ. Lift your head up. Amen. And know that you are a child of the Most High God. That the royal blood of Jesus Christ flows through your veins. Hallelujah. Know that with confidence. Not arrogance, but confidence. And then prove the faith that you say you have by doing something, by doing good deeds, by doing good works. You say, Pastor, what does that look like? Pray about it. Just encouraging somebody is an act of faith. You know, do you know why I stand here today? Back in, 2001 maybe, I used to work at a warehouse and we had devotional every Monday. And they would get somebody from a department and to go up and pray or to read a poem or something. And I used to talk about Jesus all the time, man, to everybody. I could do that, you know, but I could never talk in front of people because I was always shy and afraid. And so my boss came to me one day. And he says, Philip, you're a Christian, right? I said, yeah. His name was Roman O'Quinn. And I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. He goes, I need you to get up there and lead us in devotion today. Man, I started shaking. I said, I can't talk in front of people, man, with a microphone. He said, you always talking about Jesus, man. I said, yeah, I can do that, like, you know, behind the aisle, behind a box. But you want me to stand up in front of people and talk? I'll never forget, man, he said, don't worry about it. And I went to the bathroom. Here's where I got my calling. In the warehouse, Hager Clothing Warehouse, in the bathroom. I went in there and I said, God, I'm sorry. And the Lord spoke to me audibly. I heard his voice in English. Come on. He said, I did not call you. And I did not deliver you for you to walk in fear. I heard him. He said this, open your mouth and I will speak through you. What do? You're hearing God speak. I ran out the bathroom. I went to Roman O'Quinn. I said, Roman. He said, yeah, what's up? I said, man, I'm going to do it. I said, when do I have to do it? He said, right now, let's go. And I'm like this, bro. And I never forget. He said, you scared? I said, yeah, man. He goes, come here. Act of faith. He goes, I'm an encourager. He goes, that's what I do. I encourage people. He grabbed my hands. I never forget. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak boldness over my brother Philip. Use him today, Father, in Jesus' name. That was it. I walked shaking, looked like I was breakdown. You know how they vibrate? I was shaking so hard. I might as well have. I was vibrating so hard, scared. And I never forget, the guy had the microphone and he said, and I remember reaching for it in my mind. I said, Holy Spirit, please help me. And it was like an angel of the Lord came and hit every demon around me. And the fear was gone. I opened my mouth and I began to speak. Don't remember what I said. It was almost like I was outside of myself saying, man, that sounds all right. And I spoke and I said, amen. And everybody was cheering and clapping and hallelujah. And I walked down and I ran back to the bathroom on my face in the bathroom, dirty floor. And I said, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand it. But if you want to use me, then do it. And as soon as I walked out of the bathroom, a guy named Julian Castro, remember him? From Crimes to Christ Ministries. He had a prison ministry. He came up to me and said, he's hardcore, man. Mean dude. Christian brother. But he is just, you're Christian? I said, yes, sir. He goes, come with me to jail next Sunday. No, next Saturday. I want you to come speak at the jail. How are you going to say no to that? This was a guy who, when he spoke, there was one of the management was having an affair with one of the ladies there. When he spoke, he did this. Some people here are having affairs. In front of everybody. That was like, that's how hardcore this dude was. Some of y'all out here having affairs. Hardcore guy. Long story short, guys. When I realized that the very God that I didn't want to have nothing to do with loved me so much, I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. That's why I haven't quit. This is a calling. This isn't something you wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to be a preacher. I didn't even like people. When God called me to preach, I said, I don't even like people. She said, tell me, let's go to the care groups at University Park. I don't even like hanging around with people. Then you get to church and you realize that most of them are all fake. You know, like I tell you, the worst people I ever met come out of the church. The most condemning, the most judgmental. Oh, you got tattoos, you got preacher, you got long hair. That's why I am this way. Because I don't want to fit into your religious mold. You know what I'm saying? I want to be who God called me to be. And he loves me just the way I am. And so the point in all that is saying is this. God has a calling on your lives. It may not be to be a preacher. Amen. Did you see the sign, brother, when you pulled up? The little sign we have out there? You didn't notice it? You passed it? Okay. I was hoping you said yes. But hey, Larry said, I got to do something. It's something. It's something. Don't ever say it's not enough or what I do isn't important. You can stand at the door. I know we kind of start at weird times, but welcome people, encourage people. Even at work tomorrow, that person that you don't like, that person who's always getting on you, it's for a reason. You're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And God has strategically placed you in the position you're in so that you could be his voice, so that you could be his hands, so that you could live his life, so he could live his life through you. I've gone too much. Lewis, are you going to come up and sing us a song out of here? I've gone too far. I pray you receive this. I'm just kind of speaking from the heart today. We'll pick up on James chapter 2 next week. And I hope that you leave here with an understanding. Amen. Don't ever count yourself out. God loves you just the way you are. And yes, he is constantly at work in our lives. He never gives up. He never grows weary. He's constantly moving, constantly at work. Amen. Walk in the love of God. It's a great thing. It's a great thing when you see people struggling and you actually come up to them and rather than condemning them, you're uplifting them. Man, they notice stuff like that. And they say, wow, thank you. Amen. God never gave up on you. Amen. So never give up on each other. I love you dearly in the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord God, let us be people of faith. Let us be these people, Father God, who walk in love. That others would see us, Father God, and we would reflect your love to this dark world, Father God. That we would recognize the mercy and the compassion and the grace that you constantly bestow upon us. Father God, be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen.